And tonight we come here on New Year's Eve, a night when we look back on it, we go, I just never guessed this year would have gone the way it went, right? We all thought when the vaccines came out, I got my shot last year on December the 23rd. You know, we all thought, wow, here it comes. It's going to be normal. Life's going to come back. Year didn't go the way we expected. But there were still many blessings in there, and one of them, I think, is we found a sense of humor. We found a way to just keep on going. And I know, like, for example, at Gethsemane, we planned a big celebration meal once the normal came back. Didn't happen, right? But we sure had some great gatherings and celebrations because we just said, we're going to make it be as normal as we can. We're going to comfort and encourage each other as much as we can. And that encouragement, that humor, is what I hope I can share a little bit with you here to get ourselves started. So, a little bit of humor is a tradition, I'm told, on New Year's Eve. So here goes. Where can you go to practice math on New Year's Eve? Times Square. You know, honestly, I don't know why so many people flock to Times Square because they always seem to mess up. Every year they drop the ball. They get worse. An optimist stays up till midnight to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up to see the old year out, make sure it really ends. Or this one, maybe this will ring true for you. You're young, but you're getting a little bit older. You know, when they finally let you stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve. But you and I know we're well past middle age when we have to stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve. What is a New Year's resolution anyway? It just goes in one year and out the other. Yeah? My New Year's resolution in 2021 was going to be to read more, so I decided to put the subtitles on all my TVs. Think about that for a minute. Okay. You know what Adam said to Eve on December 31st? It's New Year's, Eve. Oh, I should stop, right? I'm gonna stop because I've decided I'm gonna quit all of my bad habits in the new year. At least I thought I was. And then I realized that nobody likes a quitter. So I just think I'll just keep on going on and on with these jokes and not do my regular sermon. No. That would be the real joke. That would be really bad. I think actually, all joking aside, I think the joke is actually on me because I never expected to get sunburn while I was out doing yard work on New Year's Eve. But in Texas, that's how it goes, at least this year. But, you know, I mentioned earlier that we call this watch night. And this is a tradition that goes back, quite a long time to 1862. Because it was on that night, on December 31st, 1862, that enslaved peoples were waiting, watching their clocks. Because at midnight, as New Year's Day, 1863, struck, the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, passed by Congress, would go into effect. Freedom would be theirs. And that yearning for freedom, that yearning for newness, that yearning to enter into a new year with hope, I think has been that tradition of that watch night ever since. So we're going to do some of that ourselves. And I would ask you to think back on this past year. And what is, think of it this way, aren't we yearning for freedom from this virus, from this global pandemic that has struck and altered so many lives, so many plans, so many vacations? Thanksgiving wasn't the way we thought it was going to be, or, you know, Easter wasn't the way we thought it was going to be, so much of life. We just want that freedom, don't we? I think, though, for some of us also, there's a yearning to not have the pull of sin keep us in patterns that we've had and that we've struggled with before. That yearning, I sensed it in a man I met. You know, he was in rehab. I go and teach a class in rehab once a week in a rehab center. He was in there and he was, you know, really, really down because he had had this habit, this struggle, this addiction for so long in his life. And he was just down, you know, look, oh, You know, he's cutting himself down. Oh, I'm such a loser. Here I am on the week of Christmas and New Year's. And I tried at first to lift up his spirits. You know, I bet there's 1,000 people out there that decided they're going to hang one on one last time for all time and then come in. But you're here now. That didn't lift his spirits. You see, the pull of shame, the pull of his sin had a long, long history of gravity in his life that led him to do things he deeply regretted. And he so wanted and needed to change. Maybe you feel like that too. Maybe there's anger that we wish we didn't have. Maybe there's fear that we wish didn't guide us. Maybe the things we do when we're, you know, fearful or worried. I shared with one of you all tonight that when I was getting ready for my backpack trip going through the Appalachian Trail a couple of years ago, I thought, well, what if this happens? I better bring this. What if that happens? I better bring that. And you know, you can carry an awful lot of what ifs and I better carries on your back and truly be burdened way more than the Lord ever wants for us. And when those sins are burdening us, when the struggles are there, I wonder if we just realize how much gets stolen from us. Remember Jesus saying, there's a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How much Satan steals from us with his temptations, with his fears, with all those things he tries to get to us. And Jesus even talked about it in the gospel reading today, didn't he? Understand this, the owner of the house, if he had known at what hour he was going to be robbed, you know, Satan doesn't always come up and knock and tap us on the shoulder with his you know, red horns and his pitchfork and say, hi, I'm about to tempt you and ruin your day by getting you down this path of worry or anger or sin or whatever struggle it is. I just thought I'd let you know that so you'd be ready. He'll never do that. He just comes. He just steals. And fear and sin have stolen so much from us. This man I met at rehab shared how he had been a few years in jail. He'd been there a few years in jail because in one of his moments when he was not sober, not clear-minded, he had taken the baby that he and his wife had to go and hold it while it cried and nurse it. He got up for a moment and sat back down, but in his mind, changed so much by the alcohol, he didn't notice what he had done, and he had sat on his own child until it suffocated. He had spent years in prison for that, but he had spent twice as much time full of shame and guilt as if he was still behind prison bars because of what he thought he could never be forgiven for. And those things that we might think, I can't ever be forgiven for, I can't ever really change. Let's realize again how much fear and sin, the devil himself, steals from us. And let's realize even more true than that is the promise of our God who loves us. As he says in Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? I long to find somehow some way to help that man in rehab with all those decades of guilt and shame on his heart, find some way of getting free from that. As we talked, he asked if I'd pray with him, pray for him. And so I started a prayer. One of the most amazing things happened as I prayed this verse with him. He said it was as if he had a vision from God. And in that moment, he didn't hear any more of the prayer after that, but he heard God say, I'm for you. Let me show you. And the man's child appeared before his eyes in his prayer and said, Daddy, I'm okay. I'm with God. It's okay. And when that prayer was over, I know I didn't pray some great, fantastic prayer, but I know the God who was for him did some great, fantastic, freeing work in his heart. And he was changed from that moment on. Do you realize the power of what it means that God is for you? He hasn't forgotten you. You aren't just, what's your name? He knows you. He's for you. He loves you. He's written your name on his hand. He writes your name in his book of life. He holds your future and your eternity, and he promises he's not letting go. God's for you in the high times, in the successes. God's for you in the low times and the shame and the guilt. And that God who is for us and strengthening us is the one who goes on to say, and did he who did not spare his own son, who gave Jesus in exchange for you. He is so for you that not only does he give his greatest gift of his son, Jesus Christ, but he still gives you everything else you need. The amazing grace to cleanse our hearts. The hope and the conviction that Jesus is with us and for us through every situation that we face. That he lifts the weights of worry, that he melts away the shame, that he breaks the chains of sin and bondage. And all those ways that Satan tries to pull us away, he graciously gives us all that we need. You and I are about to wave adios to 2021. I'm frankly okay with that. I know there have been plenty of blessings in there, but there's also been plenty of hurts, plenty of valley moments. And I'm okay. But you know what? As we say goodbye to that year, the one thing we never have to say goodbye to, I guess I should say the one person we never have to say goodbye to, is God. He's waiting for us. You know, part of the globe's already in 2022. I think we know that, Australia and all those good folks. The line of time is marching towards us. He's already there in 2022, and he's in 2023, and he's in your first need, and he's in your first decision, and he's there in your first worry, and he's there to offer grace after your first sin, and he's there to rejoice with you after your first triumph. He is there. And there's nothing that's going to separate you from God. There's nothing that is going to separate the God who loves you from you and all that you're going to face in this new year. Remember that. Because some of it's not going to be good. Some of it's not going to feel good. Some of it's going to be frightening. Some of it's going to be tempting, and Satan will be whispering as he does. But we're not going to let anything separate us from God. Not our past sins. We're going to leave those behind at his cross and behind in 2021. We're not going to let trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or anything separate us. Whatever our country goes through, whatever our church goes through, whatever your family, you as an individual go through, you will not go through it without God right by your side, right in your heart, louder and clearer than the whisper of Satan and his temptation. So we don't let anything separate us from that love of Christ. We're not going to let anything separate him. And instead, let's seek him. I think sometimes when we're in pain, we forget that. And I love the gospel song that was written some years ago and said, if you are going through hell, don't hold it. If you catch hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. No, seek him. Seek the one who loves us. Seek the one who is one prayer, one Bible verse, one church service, one whisper of his Spirit in your heart away. Seek him in the pain and in the decisions. Seek him when we fail and we gossip or sin in any other way. Seek him when you have the needs and the questions and the fears and the temptations. Seek him and know when we do, we can conquer it all. Conquer all the past failures, conquer all the present challenges, conquer the future things we can't even imagine. Doing it all through our loving God's strength. The God who says, there's nothing that can ever separate us from him. The God who also says that you and I are conquerors. Whenever America conquers over this disease, I don't know. Whenever the world conquers over it, I have no idea. I've given up trying to guess. I once thought, you know, and maybe it's true, it'd be a nice idea. You know that place in the Bible where earlier in Romans 8 it says that God works all things together for good. It might just be that God kind of kept the COVID virus waiting, this really serious, very contagious strand, kept it waiting till we had not only the vaccines, but also the medicines that can be given out, like a Z-Pak. Waited till that to now let this most contagious strand come and made it get weaker than the past ones. Wouldn't it be just like God to now have a weakened version of a virus spread so that everybody gets it and finally we all have herd immunity and it's all over? Wouldn't it be just like him? I'm not saying he told me he's going to do that. I'm not a scientist or anything, a prophet or anything, but I wouldn't put it past God to do that. And all these things, we're going to conquer. Because whether that's true and that happens, or whether you and I face some other injury or disease, I know this, that our bodies may break, our hearts may stop in 2022, but that's never going to stop us or separate us from God. We're going to conquer over whatever it is because God just lifts us out of that cancerous body. God lifts us out of that body with the stopped heart, and he lifts us to our forever home with him. We are more than conquerors. Nothing that you've ever feared, nothing that you have ever faced or will face is going to conquer you. But the God who loves us is going to help us conquer. So he'll hold on to you through everything. Our loving God will hold on to you. And I love that's what Paul says here as he wraps this up, and I'll try to wrap this up too. I'm convinced that there is nothing, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, this year we're about to enter into, no powers, no height of success or depths of shame and guilt, nothing in all creation can separate you from the God who loves you. So hold on to his hand this night. Hold on to his hand in the new year, and let me be the first to offer this little rhyme here for you. Our loving God will hold on to you in 2022. God bless you, and blessed New Year's. Amen.